Hallelujah. Amen. Well, this morning, I want to continue along the series that we've been doing on Wednesday nights, Agape. What is love? The word love is used so much in our society, expressing an attitude from anything, from people, to foods, to pets, to clothes. In the English language, we have one word that means hundreds of things. We love hot dogs, and we love our spouse. Go figure. We love our clothes, our cars. We love our kids. We love our dad and mom, yet we love our dog. In 2012, Google's most searched phrase was, "What is love?" Everybody is searching for it and wanting love and affirmation, but few people are willing to demonstrate real love, the God kind of love, by giving of themselves. So today, we're going to answer that question, what is love? And my desire is that this message would stir up the inside of you to want to love more like Jesus loves, to get a deeper understanding of God's great love. Because when you do that, it will transform you. It will change you. It will propel you to live a holy life to God, and it will cause you to want more and more and more of Jesus. Because once you get a hold of that love, it is contagious. It spreads and you can't get enough. Hallelujah. What is love? In 1 John chapter 4, verse 7, it says, "Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love." God showed us how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into this world so that we may have eternal life through him. Now listen to this. This is real love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. God is love. And when God wanted to send his love, he sent his Son. Love has its most perfect expression in the person of Jesus Christ. His life stands to this day as the greatest living lesson of what love looks and what love acts like. You see, there are four primary words used in Greek writing and speech for love. And the first one is eros, which means a sexual love, a self-seeking love. The second is stergo, a love limited to your family, devotion. And third is philia, an affection shared by friends, well-matched, compatible, complement each other. But the love of Jesus was so radical, so incredible, so far beyond what has ever been known or the world had ever experienced or encountered, that a new word was forged to describe it. A fourth word in the Greek, and that's agape. And the Holy Spirit used that new word to describe this new kind of love that Jesus himself came to reveal. Agape, it's an unconditional love. Love by deliberate choice. Love as an act of will. Unconquerable benevolence, kindness, compassion, generosity. Undefeatable goodwill. This word is only used to describe God's love. This is love in its purest form. Agape is the love of God, not just a love from God, but the love that is God. Agape is a love from above, a supernatural love. a love that never fails, which means it is a love that always wins. Aren't you thankful for that today? In John chapter 3, verse 16, I'm sure you can quote it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. This love doesn't look for what it can get. But this is the type of love that looked at man and said, what can I give? In John 3:16, we see that God did not give someone else. That would have been easy. He did not give something else. That would have been easy too. But God, he gave himself. God's love gives itself. Maybe in your life, you've been told you were loved when all that person ever did was take from you and abuse you. Let me introduce you to a love that's in a relationship for what it can give to you, not take from you. A love that's not in this for what it can do to you, but what it can do for you. God's love gives itself freely and asks for nothing in return. God's love never seeks anything except what is the very best for others. This love, this agape love, is a defining force. Our lives are touched and shaped and impacted and affected by the God kind of love. And when this love touches you, and it invades your heart, it overflows into the very banks of your life and begins to touch and transform not only your life, but the lives of others around you. That's the power of God's love. God's love is by deliberate choice. It is an act of the will. You see, God's love is no accident. We as humans may fall in love by accident. I don't fall on purpose. It was an accident. Last week, going home from church, when I got out of the car and I was walking around, you know how everything's a sheet of ice? I fell. I didn't do that on purpose. It was an accident. But can I tell you, God did not fall in love with man. God did not stumble into his love for you. His affection is no accident. Agape is not love by chance, but love by choice. He made a deliberate decision to love us, a decision on which he refuses to repent of. It's not a feeling or an emotion. It is a commitment. Hallelujah. God made his mind up to love you, and you should be comforted right now by that. He's not shifty. He's not here today and gone tomorrow. Like the world's love, it fails, it's faulty, it's fragile, it's fleeting. Here one minute, gone the next. But God's love, hallelujah, is everlasting. It's strong. It never fails, never changes, never gets exalted, never depleted. It never runs out. It goes on and on and on. Thank God. But it's your choice what you do with that love. Do you accept it and let it change your life forever, or do you reject it? His love for you is an unconditional love. Turn with me to Psalms 103, verse 8. His love is unconditional for you. It says, the Lord is compassionate and merciful, slow to get angry, and filled with unfailing love. He will not constantly accuse us, nor remain angry forever. He does not punish us for all of our sins. He does not deal harshly with us as we deserve. For his unfailing love towards those who fear him is as great as the height of the heavens above the earth. He has removed our sins as far as us, as the east is from the west. That scripture right there filled with unfailing love. God's love for you is not based on your performance. He loved you while you were a sinner. He loved you while you were his enemy. He loved you while you were still a child of the devil. You see, Satan had kidnapped the family of God, and we were dead in sin, and we were out hope, and we were separated from our Creator. But thank God, hallelujah, the blood of Jesus has brought us back home. It's brought us back into his presence. It's restored us and put us in right standing. That's what the love of God does. When I couldn't find love, love found me. It rescued me. It redeemed me. It restored me. It revived me. It renewed me. I'm so glad to be part of the family of God, washed in that fountain, cleansed by the blood, clothed in his righteousness, and awaiting the arrival of our soon and coming King. Hallelujah. So good. His love, so good. But in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, it says, but God demonstrates his own love, agape, towards us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God's love has the ability to see who we really are. Better than anyone else ever has or ever could. He sees our innermost parts. He sees it, he knows it, and he still chooses to love you. There's something about us that hides our faults so to others so that they will love us and accept us. But God's love invades us. It infects us. It corrects us, perfects us. It makes us a better person. It directs us, protects. But thank God, it never, ever rejects us. It says in John chapter 6, verse 37, those the Father has given me will come to me, and I will never reject them. When we go to him and we confess to him and we cling to him, he will never cast us out. In Romans chapter 8, verse 35 through 37, it says, who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Do I have any conquerors in the house this morning? Verse 38, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now that is a powerful love. That's something the world can't offer you. Nobody has love like Jesus. The government, the bank, family, enemies, no demon or devil, Satan himself cannot stop God from loving you. It's a love that cannot be beat, a love you cannot defeat, a love that will not retreat, a love that never fails. It is a love that's victorious. His love is relentless. It's persistent, unyielding love. His love conquered every curse at the cross of Calvary. Hallelujah. It breaks down every barrier. His love doesn't leave me where he found me. I'm thankful for that. But it picks me up and washes me clean. His love knows no limits. It's a love that went to any length. A love that went to the cross to save me. That's the kind of love that God showed that day on the cross. A love that propelled him to go to that cross and hang just for you and just for me. You are irresistible to God. He never, ever has taken his eye off from you. He can't get his mind off from you. He knows how many hairs are on your head or how many hairs you don't have on your head. That's how much he cares for you. He doesn't just choose to love us, but his love refuses to leave us. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You cannot lose the love of God, but hear me. You have the power to refuse it, to resist it, and to reject it. Don't reject his love today. Receive his love and step into a new life. You see, his love isn't a license to go out and live however you want, but his love is a license to propel you into greatness, to propel you into a life that's so much better than this world could ever offer you. His love is like no other. You see, he made up his mind to love you, and you need to make up your mind to love him and to radiate his love to others. You might be sitting there right now saying, I can't love like God. I just don't have it in me to love like that. Well, let me give you a scripture here that you can hold on to and stand, and that's Romans chapter 5, verse 5. Now, hope doesn't disappoint, because the love of God has been, that's past tense, poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. The love of God has been poured out. We already have it. God will never ask you to do something that he has not given you the ability to do. That love is already there. You don't need to ask for it. You don't need to pray about it. The capacity to love like God is already in you. But the choice to love like God is up to you. You already received it, and now you must make a conscious effort to release it. And believe me, sometimes it's a conscious effort. You've got to take your flesh, and you've practically got to beat it with a bat, because it's rising up, and it's ready to say a few things that it probably shouldn't say, and you know what I'm talking about. But this type of love, God's love, is living and moving in you right now. Not only is his love in you, but he desires his love to flow through you. Matter of fact, when we don't allow the love of God to flow through us, we're quenching the Holy Spirit. We are resisting the work of the Lord. That's why some people may look weary and worn out. You think you're fighting against a person, but all in reality, you're fighting against God and his love living on the inside of you. You got to get something in you that is trying to flow out, and all you're doing is damming up the flow. It is not natural for a Christian to be unloving. It is not natural for you to be uncaring, unforgiving, unkind, uncontrollable. Did you ever notice that staying upset with someone wears you out? Not them. It wears you out. It is so tiring. It's so draining. But loving people, although it's not always easy, there is something about it that's refreshing, because the more love that flows out of you, the more the Holy Spirit flows into you. God wants you to be the one he uses to touch someone else's life with his love. You see, sometimes you're the only Bible people read. God wants you to be the vessel he uses to pour out his love into someone else's life. God wants you to be his mouthpiece to speak his love into and over other people. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8, it says, above all things, have intense and unfailing love for one another, for love covers a multitude of sin. It forgives and disregards the offense of others. This life is too short to hold grudges against people. This life is too short to walk around so full of anger. The love of God can reach anybody. There is no person his love cannot touch and transform. It can reach the alcoholic. It can reach the drunk driver, the drug addict, the outlaw biker, the gang member, the homosexual, the mass shooter, the atheist, the Satanist. It can reach one of your family members that someone said was absolutely impossible to be saved, that he would never call on the name of Jesus. But can I tell you, it's impossible. I personally have witnessed one of my family members that nobody thought in a million years would ever call on the name of Jesus. But can I tell you, before he took his left breath, his last breath, he reached up and called on the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus's love can do anything. It can do the impossible. It's God's love that opens the hearts so that the seed of truth is planted and it won't fall on stone. It's the love of God that breaks down walls. Love makes a way out of when there was no way. Jesus did that for us. It's the love of God that prepares a place for the Word of God. Every soul has value to God, no matter who they are and what they've done. Jesus, he came for the sick and not the healthy. He came for the poor and not the wealthy. He came for the weak, not for the strong. He came for the ones who could no longer hold on. He came and lived a life free from sin. He came to give love, joy, and peace within. He came to die on the cross at Calvary. He came to save lost sinners like me. He came to take the sin and the pain. He came to erase the guilt, heartache, and the shame. He is always yesterday, today, and forever the same. I'm so glad God so loved the world, he came. God loves you. God, the creator of the heavens, the creator of the universe, loves you. His love cannot be contained. It cannot be measured, comprehended, understood, or grasped. His love is unfailing. It goes on and on and on, but it's your choice what you do with that love. Real love is patient and kind, has a tender touch, never jealous, doesn't show off. It doesn't give a view as itself as important. It's never unbecoming, never selfish, never irritable, never holds a grudge, never self-righteous. It is always honest and dependable. His love will propel you to a better life. His love is like no other. A boy named Steve was struggling in school. He had been kicked out of several classes, but a kind seminary teacher finally allowed him into his sixth period class. One day, the teacher planned a special lesson. He asked Steve to stay after class so he could talk with him. The teacher asked Steve, "How many push-ups can you do? Steve said, well, I do about 200 every night. 200, the teacher said, that's pretty good. Do you think you could do 300? Steve answered, I don't know. I've never done 300 at a time. The teacher said, can you do 300 in sets of 10? Well, I think I can, Steve answered. Yeah, I can do it. Good. I need you to do it this Friday. Well, Friday came, and Steve went to class early and sat in the front row. When the class started, the teacher pulled out a big box of donuts. Now, these weren't the normal kind of donuts. They were the big, extra fancy kind with cream centers and frosting swirls. Hallelujah. I love a good donut. Everyone was excited. It was Friday. It was the last class of the day, and they were going to get an early start on their weekend. The teacher went to the first girl in the first row and asked Cindy, do you want a donut? Of course, Cindy said yes. He then turned to Steve and asked, would you do 10 push-ups so Cindy can have a donut? Steve said, sure, and jumped down from his desk to do a quick 10. Then Steve sat again at his desk, and the teacher pulled the donut out and put it on Cindy's desk. Then they went to the next student and asked Joe, do you want a donut? Joe said yes. The teacher asked Steve, would you do 10 push-ups so Joe can have a donut? And so it went down the first aisle and down the second aisle until they came to Scott, the captain of the football team and center of the basketball team. When the teacher asked Scott, do you want a donut? His reply was, well, can I do my own push-ups? Teacher said, no, Steve will have to do them. Scott replied, well, I don't want one then. The teacher then turned to Steve and asked, would you do 10 push-ups so Scott can have a donut he doesn't want? Steve started to do 10 push-ups. Scott said, hey, I said I didn't want one. The teacher said, just leave it on your desk if you don't want it. And he put a donut on Scott's desk. Now, by this time, Steve had begun to slow down a little. He just stayed on the floor between sets because it took too much effort getting up and down. You could see beads of perspiration on his brow, and the teacher started down the third row. Now the students were beginning to get a little angry. The teacher asked Jenny, do you want a donut? Jenny said no. The teacher asked Steve, would you do 10 push-ups so Jenny can have a donut that she doesn't want? Steve did 10, and Jenny got a donut put on her desk. By now, the students were beginning to say no regularly, and there were many uneaten donuts on the desk. Steve was also really putting forth a lot of effort to get these push-ups done for each donut. Sweat was dripping on the floor by this time. Beneath his face and his arms and face were red, and you could see from the effort. The teacher said he couldn't bear to watch all of Steve's work for those uneaten donuts, so he asked Robert to make sure Steve did the push-ups. The teacher started down the fourth row, and during his class, some students had wandered in and sat along the heaters on the side of the room. When the teacher realized this, he did a quick count and saw 34 students in the room. He started to worry if Steve would be able to make it. The teacher went on to the next person and the next and the next. And near the end of that row, Steve was really having a rough time. It was taking a lot more time for him to complete each set. A student named Jason came in the door and was about to come in when all the students yelled, no, don't come in, stay out. Jason didn't know what was going on, and Steve looked up and said, no, let him come in. The teacher said, you realize that if Jason comes in, you'll have to do 10 more push-ups for him. And Steve said, yes, let him come in. And the teacher said, okay, I'll let you get Jason's out of the way right now. Jason, do you want a donut? Yes, he said. Steve, will you do 10 push-ups so Jason can have that donut? Steve did 10 push-ups very slowly and with great effort. Jason was so confused and was handed a donut, and he sat down. The teacher finished the fourth row, then started among those seated on the heaters. Steve's arms were now shaking with each push-up and struggled to lift himself against the force of gravity. Sweat was dropping off his face, and by this time there wasn't a dry eye in the room. The last two girls in the room were cheerleaders. The teacher went to Linda, the second to last, and said, "Linda, do you want a donut?" Linda said very sadly, "No, thank you." The teacher said, "Steve, would you do 10 push-ups so that Linda can have a donut that she doesn't want?" Grunting with effort, Steve did 10 very slow push-ups for Linda. Then the teacher turned to the last girl, "Susan, do you want a donut?" Susan, with tears flowing down her face, asked, "Can I help him?" The teacher, with tears of his own, said, "No, he has to do it all alone. He's got to do it alone. Steve, would you do push-ups so Susan can have a donut?" And as Steve very slowly finished his last push-up with the understanding that he had accomplished all that was required of him, having done 350 push-ups, his arms buckled beneath him and he fell to the floor. The teacher turned to his class and said, "And so it was that our Savior, Jesus Christ, prayed, 'Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit,' with the understanding that Jesus had done everything that was required of him. He collapsed on the cross and died, even for those that didn't want his gift. And just like some of us, many chose not to accept the gift that was provided for them. God's love is like no other. Nobody can even come close. There's no greater love than the cross. Jesus, he didn't have to do it, but he wanted to because of his love for you and for me. Jesus knew that some would reject it. He knew they would reject what he did for them. But it didn't stop him. It didn't deter him from what he wanted to do. And he did everything that was required of him to do. All because of you and me. All because of his love for you. You are worth so much to him. It doesn't matter where you're at in your life. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how old you are. Doesn't matter how messed up your life is. Jesus says, "Come on in anyway. I did it for you. It's not too late. Accept my love, and your life will never, never, never be the same." You know, lately I've been thinking about the love of God as we've been studying it. And there's no greater love than what Jesus has for us. What king leaves glory to come for humankind? What king leaves heaven, an awesome place, a beautiful place, unimaginable place, leaves that and comes here? Who does that? Come to this earth to be tortured and laughed at and be killed by the very people he created. Who does that? You can search all of history. You can look at all the so-called gods people have, or great kings that ever lived, and you will find nobody, absolutely nobody, that will leave glory and come to this earth wrapped in mankind to save us. That's the love of Jesus. Jesus is the one and only one who would and who did. What is love? Love came down. Love rescued me. Love set me free. Love, simply stated, is Jesus. Jesus. Jesus, hallelujah. Stand with me. The greatest act of love the world has ever known was Jesus dying on that cross. He didn't have to. He wanted to. He died on that cross for us to make a way when there was no way. Love was given to mankind who did not deserve the gift. That's how much God loved us. He sent His one and His only Son to redeem us. As Jesus hung on that cross, beaten and bleeding with a crown of thorns pressed into His skull, and He cries out, "Forgive them! Forgive them! They know not what they do." That is true love. That is a selfless love. Thank God for His love. Thank Him, because without His love, there'd be no hope. Without His love, there would be no way. Without His love, ask yourself right now, where would you be? He picked us up in His loving arms, and He pulled us up out of all that muck, all that mess, all that miry clay we were trying to figure out on our own. And then we realized that we needed somebody, and that was Jesus. And that's when He picked us up, and His blood washed us clean, and He set us on the solid rock. And then He doesn't stop there. He doesn't just pull back and let you live life on His own, but He gives you His Word. He gives you His Holy Spirit. He gives you His love that abides on the inside of you to propel you to live a better life. Hallelujah. Thank Him for His love. It's because of His love that's so wonderful that you and I can face any challenge. We can face any situation knowing that we've got a Heavenly Father who loves us, who holds us in His hands and wraps His arms around us and says, "Don't worry, don't be afraid. I am with you. Rest in My love. Rest in Me." Aren't you thankful for that this morning? No greater love. There's no greater love than this. What is love? Jesus. With every head bowed and every eye closed. Maybe you're here today and you've been searching for love all of your life. Maybe you feel like you have never, ever, ever been loved by anybody. Today is the day that can change. Jesus will love you, every part of you. He will love you no matter where you're at in your life, how old, how young, how messed up and messy it may be. God loves you, and it'll change your life forever. If that's you, don't hesitate. Just lift up your hand. You want to ask Jesus to be your Savior, your Lord forever. Your life will never be the same. If that's you, just raise up your hand. He went to that cross for you. He died for you. Thank you for that hand, sir. Is there anyone else? He shed His blood. He made a way for you so that you could have eternal life with Him in heaven.